Father, we glorify and magnify your name, and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy that endures forever and ever and ever. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the living God that lives big in us tonight. And I thank you, Lord, tonight that you'll make my tongue as a pen of a ready writer, that I'll have a word in season that will help us in every area of our life. And Father, I thank you for utterance from that place in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you I'll have clarity, understanding, and revelation about it and be able to declare it, Lord, so that it will help us in our walk with you. And Father, especially, we thank you for your holy written word. And we thank you, Lord, for what it does for us in our life. And we thank you for the precious, holy, sinless blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has washed us and cleansed us from all ungodliness and unrighteousness, Father, and that you've turned us around and got us going in the right direction. And Father, we're careful to give you the glory and honor and praise for all good things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. It's good to see all of you out this evening. God's got a plan. And God's got a purpose, and it shall come to pass. Isn't that right? I see these folks here. I've seen cars lying in the road and everything, and preachers in here, and all kind of folks in here. So I guess you're ready in here. Isn't that right? Well, I'm going to get into a subject here that I've not been able to speak on for years. Because of the fact that the body of Christ wasn't ready for it. But the Spirit of God dealt with me today. In fact, I just went back and said, Lord, are you sure about this? I said, are you sure about this now? Because, you know, because it seems like it's not some deep, dark secret. But most folks don't apply these kind of things in Christianity to their life where it will bring permanent change. But I'm going to talk about where all permanent change begins. Most people don't realize this in the church world. And I haven't been able to share this, and I've known this for quite some time. Now, let's balance that out. That doesn't mean that I know everything. And it doesn't mean I'm an expert at anything. Dad Hagen said this. He said, an expert is just a little spurt away from home. All of a sudden they become an expert when they get away from home. So I'm not claiming to know everything. I don't know, and I don't know all these things, but I haven't been able to share on this. But for some reason, and I argued with the Lord about it, but he said tonight, he said, I want you to share on this. So undoubtedly I need to hear it. You probably don't. So what I'm going to do, with Reverend Michael's permission and Pastor Nancy's permission, is I'm just going to preach to myself. And I'm going to let you listen if you want to. But there's no pressure on anybody. But I'm going to preach to me. Because I need the Word of God as much and more than you do. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're following the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? I petitioned the Lord again in the pastor's office. I petitioned him this afternoon. I petitioned him again. I was trying to get him to change his mind. Tried to get him to change his mind during praise and worship. In fact, I wanted Pastor Mike to call Reverend Michael up to do a special. And Pastor Nancy said he'll run everybody off, so she wouldn't let him come. He was going to do some kind of Elvis impression or something. I don't know. But Lord, give me a little bit more time, you know, for this. But I believe this subject here will really help you if you will apply it to your life. Because God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. But in Romans chapter 8, we're going to read a scripture there that all of us are familiar with. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I sense an anointing, I'll tell you that. I sense an anointing on this. I do. And so we'll have to have utterance for the Lord to help me because I haven't spoken this before. You know what I mean? I've known it, and the Lord's dealt with me about it, but I've never really shared a lot along this line at all. But anyway, Romans chapter 8, somewhere in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Is that what you told me to turn to? I want to make sure I get there also. I got this new highfalutin Bible. The other one wore out. But Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. The Bible says, likewise, and you have to go back and read what he's talking about likewise, but that's not part of my message. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Isn't that what the Bible says? He helps our infirmities. Another definition of the word infirmities is weaknesses. He helpeth our infirmities. He helpeth our weaknesses. He said, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now we know we need to pray, but we don't know exactly how to pray in every situation, especially about weaknesses that may be in our life. Now, this also applies to inabilities to produce results in prayer. But when you really get down to it, it's talking about the Spirit of God helps us to pray about weaknesses in our life that hinder us from doing fully what God has called us to do. So are you ready to break through those things? Fully. Don't mean you're lost. It don't mean you're on your way to hell. You're on your way to heaven. But you can have weaknesses in your life. It says infirmities here, but if you translate it on out and define it, the word infirmity means weakness. That's what it means. Hey, Pastor Katie, I see you sitting over there. All right. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray about those weaknesses, those infirmities. And we could stop right there and we wouldn't know anything else. But it says, but the Spirit, it should be Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now that doesn't mean that He does our praying for us, as you well know. We do the praying, He gives us the utterance, and we pray it out. Because here it says, verse 27, and He that searcheth the hearts, what hearts? Your heart, your spirit, the human spirit. He's searching your spirit. Knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit about your situation. He knows exactly what you need to do to deal with weaknesses in your life. Because He maketh intercession for the saints. For the who? For the saints. For the who? The saints. For who? The saints. You thought you was interceding for the world. Is that right? But He said He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then He says, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, everything works out when we get lined up with the Holy Ghost and pray, not out of our head, but out of the Spirit. Hook up with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, because there's things that we do not know to pray about. I mean, we can talk to the Lord about it. Lord, we got this situation. Lord, we got this problem. Lord, we got a thing we need to deal with, but I don't know what to do in this situation. But the Holy Ghost always knows what to do, and He always has an answer to every question in your life, and He has a solution to every problem, because He maketh intercession according to the will of God by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And so we're going to talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You couldn't wait to get to this next scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So you wondered why you came tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit, what is he doing? He speaketh mysteries. Mysteries are sacred secrets that God reveals. They're not secrets to God, they're secrets to us. Anything that we don't know is a mystery. But God wants to reveal mysteries about our lives. I want to talk about permanent change in our lives. Permanent change. I'm talking about in born again people. I'm not talking about in out there the people that's never confessed Jesus as Lord. However, it would apply to people like that coming into the church world. Because people have limitations. In times past, I've called some of these things, I've never preached on this particular subject like this, but I have preached on ceilings, but not to the point that I'm talking about tonight. I've never went this far. Ceilings. See, the devil will put ceilings on your life, and he'll only let you go so far. And he don't care how you do it. And you see it all over the place. In the Christendom, you'll see that how people can go so far, be successful. You even see churches that would grow to a certain point, and when they reach a certain point, they plateau or fall apart or split happens or something takes place. So you got devils and demons that tries to put ceilings on people's life. But also, we want to get beyond the devil. There are just weaknesses in people's lives where there's habits, there's problems that you deal with over and over, and you struggle to overcome those things. You know, a weakness could be this. Sometimes it's a weakness to be too fast. Sometimes it's a weakness to be too slow. Right? Isn't that right? Anybody ever heard of a man named Reverend Norval Hayes? One of Dad Hagin's buddies. He said Dad Hagin would say this about Norval. He said he has got a problem. He has got a weakness. He said he's got two gears, slower and slower. That's all he's got. You remember that? It'd take him 45 minutes to say hello. You remember if you went to his services, you got ready for an endurance. You know what I mean? It was always interesting. Because he had always interested, he kept your attention and all. But he was talking about even that, how sometimes being slow like that can be a weakness in our life and a hindrance, but also being fast, too fast, making decisions too hastily, too quickly, not thinking about it before you run out there and do something. Well, that can be a weakness in your life. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that you have that. But I'm just talking about things like this. And of course, other habits, other things. And so it can be a limitation, it can be a ceiling. So I'm not talking about just the devil doing something to you. In fact, a lot of times the devil can go down to the beach and lay up and go on vacation. Because we got enough junk already that he don't have to add nothing else. We need to pray out from what we already got dealing with us, you know. I'm talking about a born-again Christian. The Bible says here, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. When you speak in an unknown tongue, when you're speaking in other tongues, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. You guys remember Mr. Rooker. You remember Mr. Rooker? Mr. Rooker, that was Dad Hagin's daddy-in-law. It was Mom Hagin, Miss Aretha Hagin, that was her daddy. Mr. Rooker was there, and there was good Baptist folks, you know. And this Pentecostal folks come to town and set up a tent. And in this tent, these folks started getting this stuff called speaking in tongues of the Holy Ghost. And so everybody in the town got concerned, and they didn't know what would happen. So the great discussion would be, because people would jerk and jump and shake and roll in the floor, holy rollers, or roll on the ground and the wheat and the straw and everything else. And so all the Baptist folks, most of all of them, and thank God for the Baptists, but they were scared of it, you know. And so they got to wondering if this stuff is real or not. Well, they didn't have a lot of forms of entertainment in that day. And so one of the forms of entertainment is to go down and stand in the shadows of the old tent meeting and watch at night to see what in the world happened. So Mr. Rooker and his buddy would go down there and stand in the shadows, dare not get close. And the reason they wouldn't get close, because they had kerosene lanterns there. That was their lighting. They didn't have all this highfalutin stuff like we got. But they had kerosene lighting And so the talk of the town was that in them lamps, there was some kind of potion, and it wasn't just kerosene. And if you got too close to that lamp, that stuff would get on you, and you'd start shaking and jumping, and then you'd speak in this language. I don't know if you remember Mr. Rooker or not, but that's what they thought. And so they seen a fella going down there, a farmer they knew well. This is one of the most well-respected farmers in the area. Everybody knew him, a man of impeccable character. If he gave you his word, he believed it. He was just kind of a quiet man. And he started going down there to those meetings because they would see him sitting in there. So Mr. Rooker and his buddy, standing at a distance, they got to wondering if this is real or if it's made up. Because, you know, them folks said all that stuff felt good. But it looked like it was hurting them, you know what I mean? And he said, I'll tell you what, they deduced this fact. We go watch Brother So-and-so, good Baptist folks, good Baptist deacon. He said, now, if he gets this, we know he ain't going to put on nothing. If he gets this stuff they call the Holy Ghost, he said, we will know that it's real, so let's just keep an eye on him. So Mr. Rooker and his buddy would get down there and they'd get closer to closer, and their buddy would go down to the altar of seeking. This was during the seeking days, you know. And he'd go up there and he'd pray with the rest of them, you know. And he would seek and seek to get this experience. Of course, they got as close as they dared to get because they didn't want the lantern light to hit them, because whatever that potion was may come out of that lantern and knock them down. And so they just kept a going because that was their form of entertainment. And so they kept a going, and one night they were down there, and this gentleman got up and he went down to the front, and they got up close as they could to where the altar was, you know, and he was kneeling down there on the ground in some old hay straw and stuff. And as he was kneeling down there on the ground, all of a sudden he throwed up both hands and started talking in this language he had never heard before. They had never heard before in their life, and it was just this farmer. They knew he was of impeccable character, and they had both said, now if he gets this, we know that it's real, and it's not some kind of lotion or potion out of them lanterns up there. It is real, and he'll have it. So all of a sudden, Mr. Rooker's friend, the farmer, you know, and his buddy, that he'd heard that man down there at the altar, he just was speaking in tongues and glorifying God and praising God. And Mr. Rooker's buddy, that's standing there in the shadows with him, he poked Mr. Rooker and said, Mr. Rooker, what's he saying? Mr. Rooker, what's he saying? And Mr. Rooker said, I don't know. He ain't a-talking to me. He was scriptural. Because when you speak in an unknown tongue, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. And God knows everything about that language. You may not understand it, but God understands it. And I think one of the most misunderstood things is the heavenly language that God has given us to help us pray about the situations and circumstances we face in our lives. Praying in the Spirit will help you pray through ceilings, limitations in your life that will hinder you as a Christian. Because people have habits that they can't break, just all kinds of stuff. Weaknesses, and I'm not talking about just sin, but just weaknesses. And you wonder, how can I get through this? Well, I'm glad you come, and I'm glad you asked that question. I know Mrs. Courtney, she thought about it all day. She said, when I get there, I'm going to get Reverend Greer to tell me this. I'm just going to tell her. I'm going to tell her. I said, I'm going to tell her. But I'm ready to give you some secrets. Are you ready? By the Holy Ghost. What I say secrets? Mysteries. You must understand this, number one. And the majority of the body of Christ does not understand this. All permanent change begins in your human spirit. All permanent change begins in your human spirit, where the Spirit of God lives. Education will give information to your mind, and you can get excited and motivated about it, but it will not last. That's why what some call seeker-friendly church, the Lord calls them informational churches, people go get information that's intellectually appealing, motivating, but it doesn't last. they live like the devil, talk like the devil, walk like the devil, and act like the devil. And when you do all those things, you is the devil. I'm just telling you the truth about it. You have to break loose from the devil's clutches. Because we're set free by Christ. But there's still things that we need to get out of us, die to, crucify, that hinder us. I think the Word of God says, crucify the flesh with its affections and lust. Isn't that what the Bible says? Well, if you read some of these scriptures in here, you might want to throw your Bible away. I'm telling you. Galatians chapter 5 says, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thank you for getting excited. Thank you. Well, of course, we got the mercy of God, the grace of God, and so on and so forth. All permanent change begins where? In your spirit, in the human spirit. And if you don't understand that, you will go through life as a yo-yo Christian. You know what a yo-yo is? You can sling it and it comes back, and it sling it down and it comes back. You just go up and down, up and down, up and down. Have we got any yo-yo Christians in here? You don't have to raise your hand. We're going to give you a number and take your name and all that stuff, you know. No, I'm just saying there's a lot of yo-yo Christians in here. Somebody said, well, I want the prophetic operating in my life. Well, here you go. Somebody said, I want a word from God. Here you go. Oh, no, I want one of them sweet words. Yay, hey, nothing's going to happen to you. Everything's going to be all right, and you're going to be the head, not the tail. You're never going to have another problem in your life, and you're going to be a triple millionaire. Everybody wants them prophecies, but I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of yo-yos in here. I said, Brother Ren, this crowd ain't that big. Don't make me go back through there. I'm telling you the truth about it. And I don't say that to put you down. All of us deal with things. I deal with things. I deal with weaknesses. I have to keep my flesh down. I have to remove the limitations from my life, not by myself, but with the help of the Holy Ghost. You must understand this mystery. All permanent change begins in the human spirit. Intellectual and motivational speeches are not going to change your life. They'll make you feel good. They'll motivate you for a while, but you're still going to look like the devil in just a little while. Whatever's in you will eventually surface under the right pressure. See, you don't know what's in you until you get in the right situation. Can I tell you some truth? Now, I'm not talking about preachers. Now, if you get to shouting too much about the preacher, because I'm about to tell you about it, I'm going to tell you something about just you. There was a preacher friend of mine, good man, still a friend of mine today. But I remember we was in a situation and we was in his office and a lot of pressure come. He had never been in that situation before. I had, but he hadn't. And his pressure coming from this preacher, that preacher, that preacher. And you could just tell he was visibly shaken by it all. He was under the pressure of the moment. All of a sudden, he burst loose and actually started cussing in the church office. Said, they can all go to hell. And that's not all he said. Then he fell in the floor and started weeping and crying. That didn't come out for years till he was in the right situation, under the right pressure, and then it released. And he found out, I've got a weakness in this area. Isn't that right? Because I don't think the preacher's supposed to be cussing. City folks call it cursing. I mean, he was letting her go too. But he realized his mistake. He repented. He fell on the floor. I didn't tell him to. And all I'd done is fell down there with him. I said, Brother, I'm with you. I said, God is with us. And I said, this thing's going to turn out all right. And it did. I mean, it turned out much, much better than he ever dreamed or really I ever dreamed. But that's what God can do. Now, he had been trying to deal with anger issues in his life because he was a man that had anger issues. And he had come up this way. And of course, we don't look at our past to find excuses for our present condition. Many people live their life that way. They look at their past to find excuses to be like they are today, which I mean is goofed up. You know what goofed up means? So he had known that he had an anger issue. He had been abandoned by his parents when he was a little child. And he had to go live with his grandparents, and they resented it. In fact, they used to beat him with a broom, like you swept the floor with. Beat him with the broom. Lock him in closets. Not give him food to eat. And so when he got bigger, he just started whooping everything that he could around him. Somebody said something to him, he'd knock them down. I mean, that's just the way it was. He was filled with anger. He hated his grandparents. He had, you know, eventually all that changed. But he had those issues. And that's kind of what opened the door to it. Now, when he got born again, these things subsided greatly. In fact, he thought that he had put them all under the blood. But every time, this wasn't the only time this happened, I mean, something like that, he's got angry before, but every time he got into a certain situation, when the pressure was just right, when the right button was pushed, he would go off. He would totally lose control of himself, and he's a Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, devil-casting out, Bible-believing, laying hands on for healing preacher. But he had weaknesses in his life. All permanent change begins in the human spirit. You must understand that. It doesn't come just from reading a book or just from confessing the Word. However, confessing the Word of God is important. But it's not the only thing you do because there are certain things, now I'll just be honest with you, you can't confess off of you. Don't throw me out. I told you this is a mystery. And there are certain people that will not be saved. I'm telling you, I'm going out here now until somebody prays them through. There are people that will not be healed until somebody picks it up in the Spirit and prays it out. And these things are not talked about, you know, because most of the church world is not ready for it. We obey the Scriptures. We certainly do. We lay hands on the sick and they're healed and they recover. But how many times have we prayed for somebody and they're still the same today, to yesterday, and today, and yesterday, and we wonder what's going on? Somebody's got to take hold to these things in the Spirit and pray it out. Now, that doesn't mean when you do pray it out that the people's going to accept it. I remember Dad Hagin talking about this. Dad Hagin one time had decided he was going to pray for this man that was going to die. I mean, he was at the point of death, and he should be dead in just a matter of less than a day or two. But Dad Hagin just decided that I'm going to pray, and I'm going to stay with it, and because he knew if he prayed that God will show up. And I'll tell you this, if you pray long enough, God will show up. Now, it's not that you're making God come to you, and it's not that God doesn't hear you the first day you pray. There's a lot of things that hinders your prayers being answered, just like Daniel prayed, and it took 21 days for the angel to come with the answer. Isn't that right? So Dad Hagin began to pray, and he began to seek God for this man. And he prayed in, I think, to about the second day. I'm talking about just around the clock. I mean, he just took a few hours rest and praying. And the man's laying there on his deathbed, dying. And suddenly, Dad Hagin saw into the Spirit, and at the end of the man's bed, Jesus appeared. He appeared. Because Dad Hagin was petitioning heaven in this man's behalf. This man couldn't pray himself, he was too weak. He was petitioning heaven in this man's behalf. What it was, this man had a weakness. He had a lack of faith. And you couldn't communicate to him to get the faith in him. And he couldn't study it. So Dad Hagin was picking it up in the Spirit, praying about it. Suddenly Dad Hagin seen Jesus. The man could not even move in the bed. I mean, he couldn't. He had to turn him over if he was going to move, you know. He couldn't move his body or nothing. But when Jesus appeared, suddenly this man supernaturally got in energy. He jumped up, jumped out of the bed, ran around to the end of the bed, and walked almost up to Jesus and put his arms out like he was going to put his arms around Jesus, and Jesus put his arms out like he was going to put his arm around this man. And Brother Hagin knew it represented that man's healing. Jesus had come to heal him because he had heard Dad Hagin's prayers, because he prayed through that weaknesses of a lack of faith that man had. And that suddenly, that man said, he stepped back a few steps. He said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Now, Dad Hagin thought all the time the man seen Jesus just like he did, because he's standing right there in front of him. Come to find out later, the man didn't see Jesus, but Dad Hagin did. But it was just like he did see him, because he was standing there with his arms out. Jesus had his arms out, stretched out, ready to embrace him, which Dad Hagin knew it was his healing. But the man said, he said, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. And Dad Hagin responded to him and said to him, he said, do what? What you can't do? He said, I just can't receive my healing. I just can't. He said, Jesus is right there. Jesus is right here to heal. He has come to heal. He said, I know it. And this is what he found out. He said, he's standing right there, isn't he? He said, yes, he's standing right here. Remember, the man was an invalid, but he's standing up in the floor under the power of God, out of the bed, had not been able to move, and was dying. And he said, I just can't do it. I just can't receive my healing. And went backwards and sat down. And Jesus looked at Brother Hagin with such sadness and such love and said, see, I've come to healing and he won't let me. So that man had a weakness, isn't that right? And the man died. So you can pray and people not accept what God brings them, isn't that right? But so you need to accept what the Lord brings you. And it doesn't mean that you're always going to see Jesus. You know what I mean? It don't mean that he's going to manifest himself. Don't mean that you're going to see him. Don't mean you won't. But that man didn't see him. So there was no hope. Now, this preacher friend of mine that I was telling you had this anger issue, we discussed some of these things that I'm talking to you about. Because he wanted to know, how can I fix this? And then that's when the Holy Ghost began to teach us and help us and show us that all permanent change begins in the human spirit. And until you get in the spirit about weaknesses in your life that you have not been able to overcome, then those weaknesses are going to stay there. Don't mean you're going to hell, but you're going to limit what God can do in your life in this earth. You can die and go to heaven and never experience the fullness of what God has for you. So he started fasting. He started praying. He started seeking God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And on a Monday morning, he decided that I'm just going to put my head down and run at God till I hit him or die one. He was just tired of being in that particular situation. In fact, he not only had a weakness in that area, had weakness in several areas, and we're not condemning him. I remember, point your condemnation to somebody else. So we're not condemning him, you know. So he started to praying and seeking God on a Monday morning. And while he was praying, he was walking around his church auditorium praying by himself. And the Spirit of God spoke to him. And he said, I want you. Now, does it mean that you got to do it now? He said, I want you to pray a minimum of 25 hours a week in other tongues. Now, why 25 hours? I don't know. But he didn't have no more sense than just to obey God. And so he set out to pray a minimum of 25 hours a week in other tongues. And in fact, he prayed much more than that. Not with his understanding, because he had a limitation in his understanding. He didn't have the solution. He didn't know how to pray as he ought to pray. But the Holy Ghost was helping him to make intercession. many days, because I went with him. I walked his floor with him. I prayed with him many days. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't appear. The glory cloud didn't come. Angels didn't fly by and sing the heavenly chorus or nothing. I mean, it was just dry. It seemed hard. It seemed tough. But he just stayed with it. Just stayed with it. Just stayed with it. Just stayed with it. He just stayed with it. And guess what happened? One day he ran into a breakthrough. Woo-hoo! I mean a breakthrough. And when that breakthrough came, it came out of his spirit and permanent change began. The things he had wrestled with for years suddenly faded in the shadows. He prayed in the spirit. All permanent change begins in the human spirit. All of a sudden, things begin to change at his church. And his church began to grow. Some of you have heard me talk about this individual, but not in this particular vein that I'm talking about. But he had never had, I think, over 26 people in his church over a six-year period at any one time. And that's babies, cats, dogs, Mickey Mouse, the rat, you know, whoever, everybody else. We count everybody. And after the end of about 2.5 or 3 years of seeking God, that doesn't mean he, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But he was on a different vein, broke the ceiling of his life, broke his weaknesses in his life. And I went to do a meeting because I'd been with him off and on. And I was able to buy a bigger building and everything. And I remember walking down on a platform on that church. He'd come out like of a door. We came out of a side door like this and walked up on a platform that was higher than this one. And when I looked out, standing beside him on the platform, it was hard for me to believe my eyes. And I leaned over. He was to my right. And I said, "How many people is in this building?" He said, "Well, the ushers brought me a count right before we come out here." And he said, "Right now they've counted 630 people. Population 880. Woo-hoo-hoo! 880 population. Now, there's no condemnation to anybody, but I'm telling you, if you put your head down and you run at God, you're going to hit him. But you're not going to do it in the natural, because he tried it in the natural. He tried every lotion and potion, Stricoline, Valvoline, Maybelline, just mixed it all together, you know. Every book he could find on self-help and there's things, you know, there's some natural things you can do, and there's things we need to do about renewing the mind, because we need to renew the mind. We certainly do. But all permanent change does not start in the mind. It starts in the human spirit. And until your human spirit has changes, it brings it up to your mind, you're just going to have to be up and down like a yo-yo. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Pastor Mike, I don't know if what you ordered or not. I mean, it was Miss Courtney she ordered. But anyway, here you go. So, things broke loose for him. Things began to turn around. And today, he enjoys great success. Because you don't have to live in that mode all the time. But when you're in a tough spot, you got to dig out of it. I see some guys that's got trucks and four-wheelers and all that. And of course, y'all know something about snow. But has anybody been stuck in the mud in a truck up here? Mud. You've been stuck? I mean, good. Well, you set your axles down. You've been stuck? I'm talking about stuck. That time became intense, didn't it? Especially if you're in the woods by yourself. Let me tell you about my stuck experience. Are you ready for this? On back yonder years ago, I had a Chevy Love pickup. Y'all remember the Chevy Love? It's a Zuzu, really. Zuzu engine and all that, but they made it for Chevy. I don't think they make them anymore or nothing. Anyway, a Chevy Love pickup, and it's got a little four-cylinder Zuzu engine in it, inline. It was a four-wheel drive, and it had a little stick shift from the floor. And I just, for some reason, liked that little truck. I mean, I had it, and I could go with the monster mutters. You know the monster mutters? Boom, blah, 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 boom, slinging mud everywhere, breaking trees and running over stumps. Boom, bang, run over your car if you get in front of them. My God. But we could get out in the mud, and them things just had too much power. Too much, they'd spin down. Once you get them axles on the ground, I don't care if you got 800 horsepower. You ain't going nowhere. You got to get the wheels to get a bike, the tires to get a bike to something. So I was going hunting. Pastor Mike wanted me to go. So I was going, this years ago, as far as he knew it. He's got to pray it out in spirit. But anyway, he wanted me to go. So I went down, and I was going to go down this little logging road that actually the tanks went down. Fort Benning Military Base was there in Columbus, Georgia. And right on the main line that divided the military reservation from the regular property, you know, that belonged to the state, there was a roadway. And those tanks would come out there and go down that road. And one of these roads, tank trails, not roads. No, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Tank trails. You know, you ever seen a tank? All that boom, boom. But anyway, I seen this hill that went down. And down at the bottom of this hill, there was a big puddle of water, long water. I wasn't scared of water. I've been in a Chevy Love four-wheel drive now. Lord, we're going down in there. But also on the other side, there was a big hill straight up, and it was old Georgia clay. And I thought, well, I shouldn't go down in there. In fact, in my spirit said, don't go down in there. And I said, I know Pastor Mike. I'm going down here. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going down here. I'm coming out of this place. I can do it. I've done it. I got this little muscle truck. I'll just go down here, run down here, and I'm going to deer hunt right back and get me a deer because I knew them deer would be down there, and I'd be gone, you know. So I took off down there. And when I went down that hill, as I got about halfway down, I kind of tapped the brakes. When I tapped the brakes, it started sliding. And I knew then, it's too late, boy. You are committed. And I'm going to slide into the arms of the Lord. Here we go. So I slid down this hill. You know, and when I got down at the bottom, you know, I'm throwing it in gear. And I started to take off. And when I did, that thing started spinning. Well, I immediately stopped because I knew I'm going to set down. And when I got it on the ground, it wasn't real hijacked up or nothing. So I got in there and I tried to back it up. That didn't work. Tried to work my wheels, you know, tried to get it out. Tried everything, you know. And then I decided, well, I'm just going to gun it, and that's the only choice, because I done tried everything else, and I gunned it, and guess what happened? The tires turned, but the vehicle went nowhere. And when all four tires started turning, I got the hubs locked. You had to lock the hubs on the front on those things. I locked the hubs, so all four wheels are turning and digging down, and I set this thing down on the ground. I'm talking about it's down. It cannot get no traction. So I get out. I've got to come along, you know. And I've got logging chains. But I looked around, and they wouldn't a tree close enough for me to get a chain to and then get my come along to and winch myself out of there. So I thought, what am I going to do? I wish I hadn't never come down here. If I didn't have this weakness in my life, I wouldn't be stuck. You know what I mean? If I'd have just listened to my spirit instead of my head, because my spirit said, don't go down there. If the Holy Ghost says, don't go, don't go. But because I had a weakness of overriding the Holy Ghost, because I know better than God. And you have too. And that's when we get in trouble. So here I am, and I thought, and I had this little bitty hatchet behind the seat. And it was dull. I had cut wire, ain't no telling what all with it, you know. But I had a hatchet. And this bright idea come. I'm going to go cut me a tree and make it a link and a chain. Put a chain on one end and a chain on the other end. I'm teaching y'all what to do here. I don't know. So I went and found me a good tree, not a big one, because I got to drag it back. Because I had to go down in the woods, you know. And I found me a good tree, you know, about 4 inches in diameter, pretty tall. And I went to whacking at it with that old hatchet. That hatchet was dull. You talking about sweating? You talking about getting mosquito bit? Oh, my Lord, here I am. And now I'm wishing I didn't have the weakness in my life that I knew more than God. If I'd have just listened to the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't be here. I got a cell phone, but it doesn't do any good. I am in the swamps. And Bigfoot is the only one that had a telephone, and I couldn't make it to his house. I was in the swamps. And there's no cell signal, no nothing, because I could have got some help in just a little while. Them monster mutters, they enjoy coming slinging mud on you, pulling out of holes and stuff, you know. I chopped that tree down. Laid it out down there, sapling, you know, and I hooked a chain to one end of it, chained to the other end of it, so I made it a link in a chain. And it's pretty strong. I'm telling you, if you get the right kind of tree. And I hooked it to my truck, and then I hooked the come along to the chain, and then tied it to a tree because I could reach a tree then, and I started come alonging. Have you ever done any come alonging for long distances? Oh, my Lord, that water was about up to my knees, and I'd come out of my hunting boots. They got stuck in the mud because it just kept them. You know how it does. And I'd had to take them off and throw them over in the back of the truck. And so I'm walking around trying to repent. Oh, God, forgive me. Lord, if you'll just help me get out of here, I'll never disobey you again. Lord, I know I've had a weakness in my life, but I've learned this time. If you'll just get me out now, I'll never do it again. And you don't till you get another opportunity, until you pray that thing out of your life. All permanent change begins in the human spirit. Praying it out, going before God. Praying it out, presenting it to God. So I come along and come along and come along and come along till finally I got it to where I could attach both chains. Come along, and then I can't get back the way I go. It's too slick. I can't climb it. You see me slide down it. So I realized if I come along this thing into the swamp area, I could stand up. Y'all know what that means. A lot of leaves. In other words, I wouldn't go sinking. There was a lot of leaves that fell on the tree in the wintertime, you know. So it was good. It was soggy, but I could stand up because that truck was very light. But the only way I could get down through there were so many trees, even this little bitty narrow truck would not fit between two trees. There was one tree about 10 inches in diameter that had to be moved in order for me to go between two more. And once I got past that tree, then I could get out of here and probably drive up to the highway. Back up to the pavement. So what did I do? I got the truck at the tree. Then I got my hatchet. Chop, 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 chop. And I was not Buddy the Beaver. I can tell you that right now. Chop, chop. And I'm thinking, oh, God, if you get me out of this mess. I'm sweating. And I mean, this is a pretty big tree to chop with a doggone hatchet that's not sharp. I mean, it's dull, double dull. I chop, I beat, I knock, I chop, I beat, I chop, I knock, I beat. And then when it falls, I got to make sure it goes the right way. Why? Because I can't move it. And if I don't fall the right way where I can drive straddle of it, I'm teaching you too much. I'm telling you the truth about it. Well, I can drive straddle of it because I knew I could get on top of it and it wouldn't hit my undercarriage, you know. But if it fell the wrong way, then I'm going to have to cut this thing again, maybe two or three times while it's laying on the ground to move it because it's too big to move otherwise. Real tall, big old tree, you know. So I cut that thing, and then I started repenting. Oh, God, help me make this tree fall the right way. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, help me, God. God said it ain't my fault you're down there, you crazy thing. You shouldn't have been down there to start with. Don't call me. I wanted him to come help me, but you know what? He didn't. He showed me what to do, but I had to do it. And people are always wanting God to do it for them. Take it away from me, God. Take it away from me, God. Watch saying that. Because when you start saying things like that, take it away from you, God is not, he don't force you to do anything. He will help you and assist you, but you can open the door to the enemy, and he may take more than you want away from you. I have experienced it. I'm saying way on back yonder in my younger life. I've learned to not do that. Take it away from me. He's not going to take it away from you. Habits and weaknesses, you've got to be the one that gives it up. And the only way you're going to give it up, really, a permanent change, is in the spirit, praying it out, when you get the strength to walk away from it. So the tree finally started going in the direction. So I got up and put my shoulder against it, you know, and pushed and shoved and chopped and knocked, and it fell. And it fell just right. So God must have had mercy upon me. I got in that little Chevy Love, vroom, ba, 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 boom, 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 you know. Got it all fired up. And I took off down through the swamp, and I realized I cannot stop. If I get momentum and I get traction, I've got to go. And the highway's up under on the hill. Y'all remember what was that? Well, I'm going to have to jump a ditch like this and then jump out on the highway so I can't be up there seeing if a car's coming from this way or a truck's coming from this way or maybe a tank from Fort Benning. So this is going to be a faith, foolishness, or presumption adventure. Remember that? It's going to be one of them adventures. So I decided, Lord, if I ever needed your help, oh, I need your help. Lord, I want to get hit by one of them tanks. Oh, them tanks are bigger than I am. They can't stop. Oh, God, help me get out of here. I fired it up, got that thing going, and started going to straddle that tree, got down to the smaller end of it, jumped it, didn't jump over here, hopped this stump, went down through here, up through there, turned sideways, went through this tree, and I'm wide open, boom, going up through there, throwing leaves and sticks and rocks, jump this ditch, and all of a sudden go up this bank, and whoo, front tires come off the ground, and I land on the pavement. And I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So immediately, I ran to the hilltop in my truck, rushed up to the hilltop where I knew I could get a signal. I called my wife because I've been there a long time. I'm just taking it the shorter route with you. And she said, where in the world are you at? I said, David, he's worked for me. He said, he's looking for you. And I said, well, he ain't going to find me. I said, not where I'm at. I said, I'm all right, honey. Everything's going to be all right. And I said, I've learned me a lesson. She said, no, you haven't. After you married for somebody for a while, she done knowed I'd done been stuck before. And I said, if you get me out of this mess, I'll never get back in it again. Just give me the opportunity. I'll tell you the truth. Just give me. Under the right circumstances, when the right button is pushed until that weakness is out of your life, you're going to act on it. Oh, I'm telling you, all permanent change begins in the human spirit. So she knew me. I'm going to try it. I just believe I can do it. I believe I can. I can. I believe I can. I believe I can. I believe I can. Remember a little train? I believe I can. I believe I can. I believe I can. Well, I just believe I can. And sometimes I could, but sometimes I couldn't. So I decided I better quit doing those things. Unless I got Reverend Michael with me. And then and then he'll just get us translated out of there. And it'll be all right, you know, if he's with me. But it's just amazing what can happen in a person's life if they'll pray in the Holy Ghost. But it's also amazing what will happen in a person's life if they don't pray in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you another story? Well, can I tell you about my sister? My real sister. My baby sister. I preached her funeral. And I'll tell you why. Because she had weaknesses in her life that she never was able to overcome. You can call them sin, weaknesses, you know, lust, whatever. But she got gloriously born again and could play the piano and sing. I don't think she's on the level of Pastor Mike and his praise and worship team here, you know. But she was anointed of God. I mean, operate in the gifts of the Spirit, flow in the power of God. Tongues and interpretation, we used to operate in that a lot of times in our meetings, way on back yonder. And she'd be with me, you know, go with me, my sister. And she was just on fire for God. Her husband was on fire for God. Children, you know, everybody. And it seemed like that everything would go along good for a while. But under the right circumstances, meeting the right people, being in the wrong place at the right time, her button would get pushed and those weaknesses would be exposed in her life. As she got around some sipping saints, Don't make me come by. Don't make me. I know you making that corn whiskey in your barn. I know that. In fact, I'll tell you the truth about it. If my Uncle Bill would have known how much money you could make off of corn whiskey, you know, that's all ethanol is. I don't know if you know that or not. Read your manual in your vehicle. It will tell you this is corn whiskey that a solution has been mixed to it, so if you drink it, it makes you sick. So if my Uncle Bill had known that, he'd have been a billionaire. Because he knew how to make that corn whiskey. But my sister got to hanging around sipping Saints. She'd been delivered from all that stuff. She never was one big in it, but, you know, she got into the party lifestyle as a teenager. You know how you can do that? And it kind of stuck with her some. You know how y'all did? Oh, you're hiding. Oh, not me. I, you know. But I realized that, and I would talk to her about it. I said, now, Pam, I said, you don't need to be going around. Well, I'm helping them. I'm going to help them. I said, yes, I believe you can help them if the Holy Ghost says help them. I said, but I just know you as my sister. I said, you're in no shape to help them. I said, you need some help yourself. She had weaknesses. Anointed of God, speaking in tongues, tongues interpretation, gifts of the Spirit, play the piano beautifully. And like I said, in my meetings. But she got to hang around these people going to help them in the right button, in the right pressure situation. And guess what happened? She started drinking again. And condemnation came over. And I'm talking about, this is after a while, condemnation came. And she began to feel guilty about it. And so she quit coming around me, wouldn't talk to my mother, wouldn't talk to my daddy, and just kind of disappeared, you know, for a while. And then the next time that I heard from her, I got a phone call from her on Christmas Eve. We was all over at my mama's house. Y'all remember that? On Buena Vista Road, 6251 Buena Vista Road in Columbus, Georgia. I was at my mama's house, and I got a phone call. And somebody said at the house, she called my mama's number. And they asked on there, is Randy there? And it was one of my sister-in-laws, you know, that answered the phone. She said, Randy? She said, this sounds like Pam. Of course, nobody could believe it because we hadn't heard from her in a long, long time. We didn't know if she was dead or alive or what. And so I picked the phone and said, hello. And she started crying. I knew it was Pam then. I said, Pam, I said, where are you at? She said, I've been living in the streets. I said, what? She said, I've been living in the streets. Going with one man after another after another. I said, where are you at? She said, I didn't know if you'd come get me or not. I said, I'll come get you. Where you at? And she told me where she was at. And I knew it was going to take me a while to get there. Of course, I got an airplane, you know. And I said, it's going to take me a while to get there. So I just told them, I said, you go ahead, you know, they're going to have food and gifts and all that for the grandkids and all that stuff there, you know, at my mama's house. And I told mother what it was, and mother started crying because she'd been praying. And daddy said, you want me to go? I said, no. I said, I think I just need to go by since I need to go by myself. So I went, and I found her at this bus stop downtown, this major city, where nobody in the right rough area, because I drove up in a vehicle. I'd done planes and vehicle. I got to this place, you know, and when I drove up into there, I just reached over. I didn't even get out, you know, because of the town and the area it was in. You might get caught, cut, shot, whatever. And I just opened the door, and I said, get in. She got in. When she got in, she turned and looked at me. I turned and looked at her. I said, come out of her, you lying devil, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this thing started growling and came out of her. And she was totally set free right there in that car. Now, that doesn't mean she was demon-possessed. But she was so oppressed that this thing had taken her over. If you have weaknesses in your life that you yield to like that, eventually the devil will accommodate you. So that's why you got to break these ceilings. So we got back and I got her home. And I mean, she looked so disheveled. She didn't even look like my sister. She was always a very pretty, pretty, preemie girl, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And she just looks like a, can I tell you the truth, an old hag. I'll be honest, looked like an old hag. And I didn't want my mama to see her in that shape. And or my daddy either, because that would break her heart, you know. That's their baby. So my daddy had a, you know, big two-story house, and it was the entrance into the basement area, and I just bedrooms and all. I said, you go and get into bed. And I said, I'm just going to tell them you're down here all right. And I said, I'm not going to let any bother. I said, you need to rest. And she did. And I said, after you get up and everything, I said, just take a shower, clean up, fix yourself up. Brother Hagin said, any old barn needs a little paint on it. She needed some paint on her, you know what I mean? And I said, then you come and talk to Mother. I said, if you wake up today. But actually, a lot of us were staying overnight there, because I was from out of town too, you know, at the time, and some of my brothers were and everything. And so we didn't actually see her till the next morning, when she come up the next morning. And so she was totally fine. I mean, everything was fine. I mean, we went to church. She's worshiping God. When the preacher seen her come in, said, there's Pam. Pam, I hadn't seen you in a while. He didn't know where she'd been, you know. He said, Pam, come on and sing a special. That's what they used to call it. Because she had a beautiful voice. She went up and cranked down on that piano. The anointing of God flowed in that place. And she began to prophesy, speak in tongues. I would interpret it. And we just went through the service like that. God ministered to a lot of people during that. And you would think, well, this is it. She's got it. But all of a sudden, what happened in the right situation? The right button was pushed. And she's right back where she was, worse off than before. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this went on for many years like this, many years. And the mercy and grace of God was with her. You know what I mean? Up and down, in and out, up and down, the yo-yos I'm talking about. But she had weaknesses in her life. And she kept yielding to those weaknesses, which would in turn open the door to the devil. You understand? And then, one day I got the phone call that you didn't want to get. And I didn't know it, but my sister, she had went to Alaska, left, lost her mind. She was way up there in Alaska. And somehow she had come down, and she was in Arkansas in Fayetteville. At that time, I lived in Oklahoma. I was probably just a little over an hour from where she was at. But she had been hospitalized under an emergency situation. My oldest brother called me, and this is what he said. He said, I don't know easy way to say it, Randy. He said, but Pam's dead. I said, what? What do you mean? He said, she died just a little while ago. I said, well, she's in Alaska. How'd you find out? He said, well, they got her identification and she had my phone number in her wallet. But she was admitted to the hospital. Something happened. Her stomach or something burst and she bled to death from the inside before they could get her open and fix it where she wouldn't bleed to death from all the drugs and everything she took. And so I preached her funeral. That's tough to preach your sister's funeral, especially with your mama sitting there and that's her baby. You know what I mean? Mama can't understand that. Now, that doesn't mean my sister went to hell. Because I'm sure, knowing her, she repented at the last minute. But at the same time, she died way prematurely and she didn't have to. And neither do we. Are you excited yet? I said, neither do we. But all permanent change begins in the human spirit. It does. All permanent change. Another problem along this line is you cannot lead someone else where you have not been. You can't do it. You can tell them a story about how to get there, but you can't take them there. That's why it's important that we as Christians, if we're going to lead somebody down a path of success, then we need to pray and get success ourselves. So you can't lead people where you have not been. Many Christians are failing today because people are trying to tell somebody how to get somewhere spiritually and they've never been there themselves. Because the anointing comes on walking out the reality of it. And thank God for His mercy. And thank God for His grace. You have to break through the weaknesses in your life. Once you break through the weaknesses in your life, you can take other people to where they need to go. David was anointed to be king at one time. Isn't that right? But remember, before that happened, he was taken up to be Saul's, play the harp or whatever for Saul. Remember that? And his mom and daddy had sent him out with some cheese and crackers to his brothers that was at war with the Philistinians. Is any such a word? But anyway. And then Goliath was over there and hollered, "Hey, hey, 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 y'all come over here and fight me." He said, "If you fight me and kill me, one of you guys," he said, "we'll just serve you. If I kill you, then you have to serve us." And everybody was a shivering and a shaking. But David said, when he came up, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" He said, "I'll go out there and fight this big galoot. I'm just talking good New York talk. You know what I mean? I'll fight this big galoot. I ain't scared, I'll go." And so he started saying it so loud. People heard him. They took him up there to Saul. Said, "We got a crazy boy out here. He's doggone out of his mind. He's lost his mind." No, he had prayed through to a level that they hadn't prayed through. I mean, he had broken weaknesses in his life. He knew who God was. And he said, "I'll go out there and fight him." Remember, Saul tried to give him his armor. He said, "I can't go with this. I don't know nothing about this." He knew God, though. And he went out there. And he ran towards that giant, slung that rock. The rock was powered by the Holy Ghost, hit that giant head. And then David ran out, took the sword, cut the giant's head off, and got on top of him and used him for a platform to preach from. That Carmen said about David, that David knew how to get ahead. He did. He knew how to get ahead. So he could take people where he had been. You see what I'm talking about? He took people where he had already been. He demonstrated what he had experienced. Why? Because he had prayed through out there as a shepherd boy. Many times you wonder why you're in the circumstances you are. You wonder why you're at right now where you're at. And you want to try to push your way out of it. "Lord, I'm ready. Just wait on God. Because he's got a lion for you to kill. He's got a bear for you to kill. And then he's got a Goliath for you to run into. Amen. And that's all he's doing is getting you ready for it. So ladies and gentlemen, all permanent change begins in the human spirit to praying in the Holy Ghost. So I would encourage you tonight to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Present yourself to God. Now, I'm not saying to look around and try to find a booger in your closet. I'm not trying to tell you that at all. And I'm not trying to tell you to look and find every weaknesses. But you pray in the Holy Ghost, you present yourself to God. If there is a known weakness in your life, present it to God. But I'm not saying look for a booger, because you might find more than you want. Might find more than you can handle. I'm not saying that, but let God use you. Let God deal with you. And I'm just going to unhook right here. There's a lot more that I can say about this, but I've just been tiptoeing around the tulips about this, because there's more about the mysteries of God along this line. But God's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for me. And there's not going to be anything that's going to limit me or hinder me. If I'll pray it out, I can walk it out. If you don't pray it out, you'll never walk it out. David prayed out about fighting Goliath, even though he didn't know it, while he was out singing and playing the harp for the sheep on the countryside. God was preparing his future, and God is preparing your future, and God is preparing my future, and it shall come to pass. And nothing's going to stop it. I said, nothing's going to stop it. I said, nothing's going to stop it. So I believe, having said that, are you ready for this? Are you sure? You guaranteed? I believe, just been praying while I've been here, that on this region, that the enemy has set a ceiling. And he said, you ain't going but so far. I'm talking to family churches. He said, you're not going to go so far. There's going to be limitations. You'll be able to do this and do that, but he's not going to let you go anywhere else. But we got news for him. We've got inside information, and he's not going to stop us because we are in the Spirit. We're going to stay in the Spirit, and we're going to break through every limitation, every weakness, and everything that the devil tries to do. And I believe I saw this when I was down in, Jamestown. When I saw those ways of the Spirit of God, I believe that it applies right here in this whole region. Maybe even go down there where Ann's at. Ole Ann. You know, I never did see Ann down there. But anyway, Ole Ann. I believe it even go down there. But I believe that God's got big plans for this area. Big plans for these churches, and you are part of it. So if we'll pray it out, we're going to walk it out, and of that fact, do not doubt, God's got a plan, and it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the anointing of God. Thank you for helping us tonight and showing us some things tonight. Lord, and I know that I only shared just a little bit about this. But Father, we know that it's very important for us in areas of our life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you that that breakthrough will take place just like you showed me today while I was praying. Lord, I perceived, Lord, there was a breakthrough in the Spirit for this area, for this region. And Lord, you showed me some things that would happen and transpire. And Lord, I believe that it will take place, that it shall come to pass, and we shall see it happen just as you said it would happen, and nothing can stop it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand to your feet. And while you're standing to your feet, just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Soto likivishikoto lokoya. Bastadoko beke tolokoria vashegi mastakite. Father, I thank you. The limitations are lifted. The weaknesses are gone. Lord, we bind every hindering spirit, every harassing spirit over this region, over this area, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we make the declaration that we will move forward in faith, and we'll pick up the pace, and we'll run this race in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing shall hinder us, and nothing shall stop us, in the name of Jesus. Shogomaki telekaya bastadungi betele kuria vasagamakiti. That's the dung of Mandela Co, Tele Shedela Covasa, Ben Madone, Kitele Comba, Diriva Shedela Co, Mandala Coste, Gimica Telecaia, Besta Daca Batila Coste, the Kivishigin de Nakai, Mandela Co, Bandala Kivishanolo Cobasta Gite. Lord, one day, Elijah, Lord, was on the mountaintop, and he said, I'm going to pray for an abundance of rain because there'd been a drought, Lord, and had been no rain. Lord, but he knelt down and began to pray, and he sent his servant to look for the cloud. And Lord, the servant would come back and report, there is no cloud. And then finally, one time, the servant came back, Lord, and he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And that was all the witness that the prophet of God needed. And he said this, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Father, I can hear that sound of an abundance of rain in the region, in the area, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that is moving right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we break the enemy's power. Lord, we break that religious spirit in the name of Jesus, and we release the power and the anointing of God in this place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that your will, your plan, and your purposes are taking place. And they're coming to pass in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by direction of the Lord, if you're in the ministry, just step out where you're at and just come down to the front. The ushers will assist us. Thank God. Hallelujah. If you're in the ministry or you're a minister's wife or spouse or whatever, you come on down too. If you're in the ministry. Thank God. There's things that God wants to do in this area. As I was praying today, I began to see some of those things. And I saw that it's going to take place, and it's going to be because of the anointing. The yoke shall be broken, and it shall be destroyed in the name of Jesus. You know where it's going to start? It's going to start at the pulpits, and it's going to flow down to the last pew. And so there's an anointing that God wants to impart to us tonight, because I received it this afternoon on the mountaintop while I was praying. I seen it in the Spirit, and I thank God for it. And God's got a plan, and the enemy's tried to set a ceiling on this area, on this region, but he's not going to be able to stop it in the name of Jesus. Tonight, you will receive an impartation. I'm telling you, from the Holy Ghost, that's going to help us to move into everything that God has for us. Amen? Father, we thank you. Lord, as I lay my hands upon these ministers of the gospel, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just as you showed me this afternoon, Lord, I saw myself doing this in the Spirit, and Lord, I'm just acting it out. Lord, I heard myself say some things that I've already said, and I've said those things, Lord. And Father, tonight, Lord, as I lay my hands upon these people, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of God to come upon the ministers of the gospel in the way that they have not experienced in a long, long time. And Father, we thank you for the anointing of God that is released in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we decide and we make the decision that we're going to walk it out in our life, and nothing is going to hinder it and nothing's going to stop it, because all the limitations are removed. I said all the limitations are removed, and we're going to enter into everything that God said do. So don't be disappointed. And don't think that you're being left out. Just praise God and shout, because he's working it out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Being determined is the thing that will get you a long, long ways. And that's what's got you even into these days. But you see that this determination that God has placed in your life is going to take you real, real far. And you're going to say, Lord, I thank you for bringing me from afar. Father, we thank you for the anointing of God, and the enemy cannot stop us, because we are moving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that anointing. And we thank you the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing in the name of Jesus. And we're moving forward in faith, and we're going to run this race, and we're going to take our place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power of God. And Lord, we thank you that we're walking in that you called for us in this day, and we're moving out in a supernatural way. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Lord, you know all things. Lord, you know all things, and things have already been said, and things have already been declared, and we thank you the limitations are removed so that they can be had. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we depend upon you. Lord, we're yielding to you, and because of that, we're going to move right on through. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we believe you. Lord, we trust in you. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you're the one that makes the way where there is no way. Lord, you're the way maker in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you that you worked it out, and of that fact, there is no doubt. Father, thank you for the anointing of God, and we make the decision that Satan under our feet we shall trod, and we're going to enter into a brand new day, because we're going to move into God's best way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I invoke and I speak a very special blessing over every individual under the sound of my voice, and I thank you. The anointing has come upon this people tonight, and I break every bondage in the name of Jesus and release the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Father, we're walking in the fullness of that you have for us in this hour, in the Holy Ghost power. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Glory to God, ladies and gentlemen, I am guilty again. I have preached myself happy. I'm guilty. Now, I'm going to be praying for others during this meeting. That's why we have extended meetings. But I saw myself today doing what I've done, saying some things that I said, and I just come to church and just acted it out. Is that all right? I don't always see it that way. Don't always have those kind of experiences, but I did today. You may be seated. Thank you for coming.